Thanks for listening to the Woodward Podcast Network. Check out more shows by searching for us on Spreaker or wherever you catch your podcasts. The Woodward Podcast Network with Krupka Dental Associates.
This is Dr. John Krupka with Krupka Dental. Orthodontics is more than creating a beautiful smile. We provide ortho and airway evaluations, which can reveal developmental and behavioral issues. Orthodontic treatment is now faster, more comfortable, and effective than ever before. Visit KrupkaDental.com.
Fresh Take for Tuesday, July 27th, coming to you live from a rainy EAA Air Venture 2021 in Oshkosh. I am, of course, your host, Josh Duclos. This is Fresh Take, conversations to get you thinking, not tell you what to think. Grateful to have you with us this morning. As I said, coming to you live from the grounds of a rain-soaked Air Venture 2021. It certainly kept the crowds down so far. I had no problem getting in, finding my parking spot, everything smooth as silk this morning, except for that rain. And the rain is continuing, and looking like it might continue for a little bit more this morning. We're going to get to that in a moment, but we got to say good morning to our man Zach Morris back in the Myron Construction Studio. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Josh.
Did you wake up at all from the storms overnight? How was it at your place?
Well, I was shocked because we weren't really supposed to get the storm. It was supposed to stay up north, and then all of a sudden it dropped, and it just stayed for quite a while.
Yeah, a couple of rounds of showers overnight, power outages as folks were emerging from their slumber this morning. So a couple things to get sorted out and cleaned up. Further up north, of course, reports of some wind damage, so some cleanup to do there as well. The grounds here at EAA look none the worse for wear, given that we did have some rain and some winds go through. But as Zach said, most of that stayed to the north. So we are coming to you live from the grounds of EAA Air Venture 2021 in Oshkosh. And for our local news chat this morning, we are fortunate to be joined by WHBY News' very own Jonathan Krause. He's right here with me in our stand at the vintage area on the grounds. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Josh.
You have been running like crazy for a few days already. It's only day two officially of Air Venture 2021. And I just want to ask you, as someone who has been a regular fixture at this event for many years, how excited is it to be back after a year off? I mean, are you feeling that excitement?
Absolutely. The one thing that I mentioned to a lot of people here, you don't miss the getting up early and setting up the tent and all the broadcast equipment and dealing with weather like this and having to be outside in it. What you miss are the people that you see every year.
Sure.
Yesterday, Haley had Vic Krause. No relation. Okay. I'll call him Uncle Vic. I missed seeing him last year.
Sure.
I even missed seeing Dick Napinski, the EAA spokes or head of communications, on a daily basis.
Well, when we were getting set up here, we were kind of had our stuff here. We were set and waiting for the time to come. And is it Amy from here in the vintage
area? Lemke.
Amy came over and said hello. And you've got all kinds of friends down here.
Another one of my good friends is Victor Briones, who runs the International Visitor Center. He's co-chair over there.
Sure.
And he looks forward for some reason to being interviewed by me.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, but he's a real ham, He's one of those guys where you get on the grounds and everybody knows Victor.
There you go.
It's amazing. He's got 600,000 best friends.
So he's a fixture here just as you are a fixture here at
Everybody's
EAA,
a fixture.
Or as most of the visitors just call it, Oshkosh.
Yes.
To them, they come to Oshkosh for this one thing, kind of like the people in this area just call it EAA.
Yep.
Because that's what most of us know it for.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're old school, my dad's been an EAA member since the late 1970s. So I've been coming here since I was 7 or 8.
Wow.
On a yearly basis, at least for one day.
Yeah.
Working here for 23 now.
Wow.
And you know that you're an oldster when you either call it strictly Oshkosh, and that's a lot of the pilot people.
Yeah.
And then everybody else just calls it the fly-in.
You're going
to the fly-in this year?
Yes.
And I remember when they changed the name to Air Venture. I'm like, this is never going to take hold. People are still going to call it the fly-in. And one of the most popular shirts and sweatshirts that they have in the stores, it has the old logo, Oshkosh Fly-In.
There it is.
People love that.
You know, that's it. We're in the vintage area on the grounds. We've got some really classic-looking aircraft right out in front of us as we sit here talking. And there is some nostalgia that goes with this.
Absolutely.
In addition to the excitement about cutting-edge technologies and all the new and exciting experimental aircraft, there is a lot of nostalgia that fuels this.
We have planes out here that are coming up on 100 years old.
Wow.
100.
Yeah.
And they're still being used. And I know that the designer and whoever built it at the time wasn't imagining that it was still going to be used 100 years from now.
Right.
But it's even beyond an old car show out here.
Amen. It has a very strong feel of, like, class reunion.
Yes.
Very much of that, where instead of everyone going to the same college, you're all just into the same niche hobby of experimental aviation.
On Sunday, I talked with the guy who has the very first camping spot when you come out of the entrance to the side over here and head into Camp Scholler. He's missed 1 year since it moved to Oshkosh.
Wow.
And he was here a day before the campground opened and camped along the side of Poperesny Road until they let him in.
Just making it happen.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, he and his wife used to park planes for years. Now they don't get around as well.
Okay.
But they still want to come here.
Yeah.
And the people who are across the little driveway through Camp Scholler, those people, they know those people. They always are in that spot.
Sure.
And the people behind them are always in that spot.
That's it. Seeing your friends again.
Yeah.
So what do our friends have to look forward to today, Jonathan? With the weather being as it is, should they expect that this is going to change a lot of plans based on what's scheduled? Is a lot of this happening indoors? What's your sense?
Well, the storm should be out of here by 9:30.
Okay.
And throughout the day, flybys are kind of random at most, depending on what is arriving. Today, the big bird that's coming in is the UPS 747, which has delivered something like 16 million doses of coronavirus vaccine around the world in the last few months.
Wow. Holy cats. 16 million doses around the world. A key element of the logistics that's making that vaccination effort possible globally.
Absolutely.
And that'll be right
and
here.
And I don't know if you've ever seen the cargo version of a 747.
I'm not sure I have.
Oh, man. You can't believe how big, how much room there is in there. When you sit on it, it's very spacious. I don't know if you've ever flown a 747.
I'm sure I have at some point.
353?
Yes.
Configuration, unless you're upstairs, and then it's very nice. I've never
Maybe
been
Maybe I haven't.
But upstairs in the aircraft. But take all of that out, and it's all storage in behind, underneath cockpit. The nose lifts up, and you load in straight in.
Interesting. Wow. So that'll be here on the grounds today?
Yes.
Flying in later on.
Arriving in later in today.
And, of course, throughout the day, there are extensive workshops and lectures and presentations of all sorts. And I'll run through a few of those. I just always get a kick out of some of the titles, some of these things I would never have imagined or could even figure out what they are, frankly.
Sure.
But people come from all over the world to be here. Do you have a sense, Jonathan, that attendance up this year?
Absolutely. Jack Pelton, in his press conference yesterday, opening day, he mentioned record number of planes on the ground, 7,900 on the ground before we even started on Monday. Previous record was around 5,000.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so
and
like,
then pre-sales have just been through the roof.
Wow.
And part of that is because they want you to be pre-registered. It's express entry this year. So just basically show your phone or the print off the ticket.
Right.
Boop, you're in.
So
instead of go to the admission gate before, get your wristband and all of that.
The idea was to eliminate points, like bottlenecks in the process.
Yep.
And so they really emphasized getting your tickets ahead of time. And that way, as you're coming in, you don't have to go buy your ticket. You just get scanned and you're in.
Yep.
Keep things moving.
Yes.
You mentioned EAA Chairman Jack Pelton and his opening day press conference mentioning attendance and other things like that. What else did he have to say?
He detailed, and we'll be doing a little bit of news story here coming up later today on this. He detailed the process that they had to go through with the Winnebago County Health Department to make this as quote unquote normal an air venture as possible. If you can imagine, the health department wanted every food item that would be sold out here to 600,000 people to be prepackaged. So there would be no direct handling of a food product outside of the package.
So, like, you couldn't scoop an ice cream cone and hand it to someone.
Correct.
You couldn't make a burger and put it in a basket
Correct.
And hand it to someone.
It would have had to be heated within the package that would be handed over.
Oh, goodness.
And then you mentioned some of the hands-on displays and techniques you learn out here.
Sure.
Jack asked him, has there ever been a case of someone who got COVID by sharing welding equipment? because that's what they do over in the pavilions.
Demonstration.
Yes.
And people would rotate.
And it's hands-on.
Right.
You have someone there who knows how to do it, and they guide you so you can do it when you go home.
Sure.
That would have been banned.
Wow. And again, we understand, because we've lived through this for the past year and a half now almost, of why the thought there is to try to eliminate mutual people touching common surfaces.
Yes.
For
but
a while, we've
known found out that,
that
it's not so much common surfaces.
Right, right. That's become something we've really clarified in the research and the understanding about this. So I see. So the county health department was basically trying to be as cautious as possible.
I think so.
And Jack Pelton was making the case for some of that's a little overly cautious.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you'll have some more reports for us about that.
And you have to keep in mind, the clientele out here, to build your own airplane with experimental on the side and fly it around, you are probably a little bit more of a risk taker than other people.
Very good point.
Not to say that flying is ultra risky.
No.
But you've built it yourself.
Relatively speaking, yes, when you're comparing the risk you're taking to fly versus fly a plane you built yourself.
In your garage.
With your own two hands.
Yes.
Yeah, a slightly higher level of risk, perhaps. Slightly higher. But that's it. This is the crowd for that, right? They are into it. I mean, being outdoors is a big bonus here as well.
Absolutely.
Know that transmission is limited outdoors, but there's always still a risk, of course.
And having a couple hundred acres helps.
That does help.
So that was one of the things where they have pushed out a lot of the parking, so you don't have people, as many people driving around inside the grounds as we used to have. Which is unfortunate when you have to bring a whole bunch of equipment in for a radio broadcast, but that's okay.
We're going to survive it. We're going to make it. You were out here yesterday with Haley. She's broadcasted out here yesterday from the grounds at EAA. I'm out here today until 11. We're nice and give you the day off tomorrow, Jonathan. You get to sleep in and nap, hopefully, a little bit.
Actually, I will not, because my tee time at the State Par 3 Championship at Sand Valley is at 8:11 a.m., and it's an hour and a half drive.
Oh, I should have known. Should have known. Jonathan takes the day off, and he's golfing with an 8:15 a.m. tee time. But then Haley will be back here on Thursday from 11 to 1, and Dave Edwards out here with AM Fox Valley on Friday morning. So we've got you covered as far as live broadcasts here from the world's largest aviation extravaganza, AirVenture 2021 in EAA. 1 year off last year due to the COVID precautions. This year, a huge celebration of aviation, and we're going to be bringing it to you. I'll have a bit of a lineup for what you can expect here this morning on Fresh Take as my schedule goes flying away. There we go. Thank you. We're running our own boards out here. Zach keeping the show on the road. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more Fresh Take live from the grounds of EAA AirVenture 2021 in Oshkosh right after this on WHBY. It's Fresh Take live from EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh 2021, happening this week. As you well know, if you've had your eyes on the skies or your ears open at all, you've heard, and maybe you will hear during our broadcast today, some of those roaring planes and the engines roaring through the sky that make EAA such a special adventure. Apparently, Zach Morris, some breaking news from the world of football. Is that right?
Well, it can't be shocking, because if you were following last night, some reporters were tracking the plane that was holding quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and now he has now been seen, and there's video of him walking into Lambeau Field.
Wow. Wow, the least surprising breaking news of the summer.
Well, especially after yesterday.
Well, and that's it. Yesterday you got the reports that the contract was going to get signed. Now, again, I'll be anxious to see the actual details, what of it we actually learn about what's going on with the contract, apparently changing some of the terms out at the back end, moving a little money up front, but then freeing him up to maybe get traded at the end of this coming season. Is that the idea, Zach?
It's to be reevaluated by the end of the year. So either he would be for another season in Green Bay or try to trade him somewhere else.
Sure. Okay, so not resolved yet, but at least the question, will he, won't he? solved at least for this season. And I'm hoping that we'll get some accountability from all of those talking heads on ESPN who were insisting he'll never wear the green and gold again. He's over. The Packers are going to be so terrible. How could they do this? Zach, you think we're going to get a whole lot of mea culpas?
No. It's just a delayed factor. That's what I've been hearing this morning already. Oh, they just delayed this for a year. Okay. But, hey, the true winner in all this situation is Jordan Love, where you continue his development until he gets hurt week two and Rodgers, and you're back in the lineup.
Zach Morris, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. No, that is not what's going to happen. He gets a whole year under the radar. He can develop more. He's going to get the same kind of ease into it that Aaron Rodgers got, which only gives me more confidence that he has the potential. I'm not predicting. I'm saying he has the potential to be a superstar quarterback as well behind another great offensive line. We'll get those kinks worked out this year.
Starters would never get hurt, right? Never in the NFL.
Ever. Never. Who would do such a thing? No, of course not. But Aaron Rodgers now in Green Bay. I believe actual practices get started tomorrow, but veterans had to report today. Is that how that all works?
Correct. Physicals, making sure they are ready to go onto the field.
Make sure he didn't injure himself on those trips to Hawaii that he was on or at those big celebrity golf outings he was a part of. You know, Aaron just so low-key this whole offseason. It was just really hard to even know what he was up to.
The question will be for media. Will they have the man bun with the new photos they used for this year or no?
Zach Morris asking the hard-hitting questions.
I'll never forget that first year he was a starter where they had that long hair because he was on the end of the bench, maybe didn't get haircuts. That was probably the best picture to have all season long as first year starting.
And it is the team photos that get taken. Sometimes they like to have a little fun with that, but you never quite know what you're going to get. Well, you never quite know what you're going to get at EAA or Venture as well. That's why they got an extensive daily events schedule and, you know, things like workshops on human factors of long-range flight or over both poles in a home built. The titles on here are just my favorite thing. Why Good Pilots Make Bad Decisions. Ooh, that sounds like an interesting session here. The variety and the selection of workshops and topics here at EAA is just incredible. And we are excited to have a great lineup. Jonathan Krause scouring the grounds, scheduling some great interviews for us. When we come back after the 9 o'clock news, we're going to talk with the director and producer of Flying Boat, a documentary film that premiered here at EAA Air Venture on Sunday. Dirk Braun will join us, talking a bit about the film. And the star of that film, the Grumman Albatross. And we'll also ask Dirk Braun why he has such a special affinity for that plane that he felt compelled to make a whole movie about it and how that plane is different than most other planes that you've seen that look kind of like it. We're going to talk with Dirk Braun, the director and producer of Flying Boat, after the 9 o'clock news. Then later on in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Dr. Hunter Cherwek, a surgeon with the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital. This is essentially an optical surgical center on an airplane. Dr. Cherwek is going to talk to us a little bit about where they use this plane hospital and how it has been involved and where they've been, where they go, and how it's not just about healing. It's also about teaching. We'll talk about the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital that's out here at EAA Air Venture today with Dr. Hunter Cherwek. He'll join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour. At the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we talk with Amy Albright from Visit Oshkosh. We'll have some insights about what's going on here and the impact of EAA Air Venture in the Oshkosh community. And we'll talk with Captain Amanda Montgomery of the U.S. Air Force. She is here with the onboard COVID care chamber, a large U.S. Air Force plane equipped with a full COVID care unit. We'll talk about the work they've been doing, and of course, we'll wrap it all up with the takeaway. All of that coming up for you here live from EAA Air Venture 2021 in Oshkosh. I'm Josh Duclo. It's Fresh Take. We'll be back with more after the news. Take is brought to you by Hooper Law Office, Call Peter Harbach and Sarah Kahns at 920-250-9959 for your elder law and estate planning needs. Hooper Law Office, providing a pathway to your legacy. Welcome back to the show. It's Fresh Take. I'm your host, Josh Duclos, with conversations to get you thinking, not tell you what to think. Coming to you live today, Tuesday, July 27th, from the grounds of EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Missed it last year, and the fans and the crowds are back in big numbers. And weather update, the rain has stopped. So it is going to be another gorgeous day here. Suspect maybe the crowds will be a little delayed given the rainy start to the day, but something tells me they'll be here in time for that afternoon air show that gets going here. Let me see what the schedule says. Afternoon air show, what, like 2:30-ish? Yeah, right in that range there. Afternoon air show, 2:30. So get down here in time for that, and there is so much more to see. We've got a great lineup of guests for you this morning here on Fresh Take, beginning with our first guest. He joins me here in our broadcast tent. Is this the Myron Construction Broadcast establishment here? Dirk Braun joining us. He's director and producer of Flying Boat. Dirk, welcome to Fresh Take.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Great to have you here. Let's start by getting to know you just a little bit, Dirk. Where are you from?
I'm from Connecticut originally.
Okay. And did you study filmmaking? Is that your educational background?
I did. I studied film studies in Colorado.
In Colorado. Okay.
Where I went to college.
Okay. So how long have you been making movies?
This is my first movie.
Okay.
But I started a production company about 9 years ago, and we did a lot of events and commercials and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been behind the camera for quite some time now as a professional.
Yep, about 9 years.
9 years as a professional, but now your first feature film, feature-length film.
Yes.
It's called Flying Boat. Tell us the story that you're telling in this film.
It's about a handful of pilots that still fly and maintain the Great Grumman Albatross. And most of the ones that are flying today, there's only about a dozen or so that are still flying. They were restored after sitting in neglect in Tucson, Arizona. So there are a few people that just saw this great machine and wanted to bring it back to life.
Interesting. So you're telling the story of the pilots who are actually operating this machine and also of the machine.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, so describe this plane for us. For folks who may not be familiar, what is the Grumman Albatross?
It's best described as a flying yacht. It's like it's a huge hulled seaplane, about 100 feet wide. 60 feet long, 25 feet high. It can take off and land in open ocean, up to 6 to 10-foot seas. And they can cross the Atlantic, cross the Pacific, almost 3,000-mile range. So they're one of the most diversely capable machines ever created. And that alone is just such an inspiration for me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you discovered this machine and why it's so significant to you.
You know, when I was 18, my good friend Corey introduced me to the Albatross, and it just never left me. And I just fantasized about it and just kind of put it on the front burner and wanted to really pursue a film after my father's oldest friend, Tom Casey, who's in the film. I found out he was actually in the process of restoring one, and it's just completely by chance that was happening.
So a couple of little coincidences there. Your friend introduces it to you for the first time. You find out that your dad's friend is actually restoring one?
Yep. Completely by chance. My dad's not a pilot or anything.
And had you been an aviation enthusiast prior to your first experience with this?
I love machines. I like cars. I like things like that. And I've always wanted to fly. Mm-hmm. And he actually taught me how to fly during the making of this. So I got my license, and it's been wonderful.
Wow.
And so I have a little time flying the Albatross, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's really exciting. I mean, so you said there's only a handful of guys who, I assume it's all men. Is that fair?
No, there's a woman.
There we go. Okay.
Yep. The Albatross Lady. Her name's Julie Fetchko.
The Albatross Lady. Of course, he's got to have a nickname come with it.
Yep,
but the pilots who operate this, and this is what we love about broadcasting from EAA, as we get that lovely ambiance in the background of the planes taking off. T6. T6 is the planes that we saw there, capable of some aerial acrobatics. Oh, someone told me that. I had no idea. But we're talking with Dirk Braun, director and producer of Flying Boat. So in this film, you're telling the story of the Grumman Albatross and the men and woman who pilot it. And you actually had a chance to fly this plane yourself?
I have a little bit of time.
Okay.
Yep. It's mostly about, you know, an aspirational story, emotionally driven, character driven film, instead of just a fact driven documentary. So, I chose 10 characters, and they all have just separate, different interests and ambitions, but all have this common interest in the albatross.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just a close-knit community. They're always in contact with each other, trying to find parts, get type rated, those kinds of things.
So do you have a sense of how many of these there are out there flying? I mean, it's a limited number?
I'd say give or take a dozen.
Wow. Okay, yeah. A very limited number.
The 466 that were made. And most of them were sent to Tucson to sit in neglect.
So, to rot.
Yep.
So, okay, I would imagine a plane with such unique features, scale, was built for a special purpose. Was there something more than just extravagance that was the point
here? Oh, absolutely. What's just unique and interesting about this aircraft is it's been used for so many different things. It started off as an open ocean search and rescue machine and to capture downed pilots. And like I said, it could go 3,000 miles and it can take off in open ocean, huge waves and swell. And it's almost been overbuilt. They call it Grumman Ironworks as a nickname. And it's one of the most, to me, the most remarkable machine of all time. It's just spectacular in design and function. And there hasn't been anything that's ever come close to it since then. That's why people are still flying them and trying to do whatever they can to keep them alive.
Keep them operating.
Yeah.
Are they still used for open ocean search?
There have been single missions like that. There's been research missions. Beyond that, they've been used by the military passenger transport. It was the last passenger transport flying boat used by Pan Am.
Okay.
And Pan Am were the ones that really were at the beginning of flying boat travel. Mm. So it's got a lot of pedigree there.
Interesting.
And you know, back in the 30s, they were one trip pioneered long distance travel with a flying boat.
Yeah.
And they've also been used for all kinds of situations. Red Bull had one. Billabong had one. Jimmy Buffett had one. They've been used for exploration missions. And now they're in private hands, and they're even used for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it mostly folks who own these things are also the operators? Is that the idea? I mean, would someone have one of these they couldn't fly
in
themselves?
This stage, yeah. 70 years later,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Interesting. But originally it was military, it was commercial, it was all kinds of uses.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what's fascinating to me is it's had such a life of so many uses, and people still find more uses for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a part of telling the story of making this film Flying Boat, were you discovering some of these things that you didn't know, I would imagine?
Oh, endlessly. so many great things were uncovered during the making of this film. It just kept getting better as far as the history and understanding what these things have been used for and all that. So.
Yeah. How long did you spend working specifically on this film?
About 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Yep. And I kind of describe the film and you know, the efforts to keep this thing alive are like my kind of reflective of my efforts.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. You're part of this this Flame Keepers group, right? You're sort of keeping this alive.
Yeah.
So you actually premiered Flying Boat here at AirVenture on Sunday.
Yep. It was fantastic. I mean, there's no other place I'd rather do it than here. And we just had such a great receptive crowd, and I was just blown away with how many people showed up.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, to see it on the huge screen was just such an amazing experience. And there were just so many people, and I was so happy to talk to everyone after the show. And it's been wonderful.
Got to do a little bit of that meeting the people and answering questions and stuff?
Yep.
What kind of questions do you get from folks?
All kinds of things. anything from, you know, what is this thing? How do you get started with filmmaking? I mean, all the questions you asked.
Yeah, right. Interview questions.
Yeah.
They're pretty basic. So, okay, so folks have been engaged in this. You've premiered it here. Do you have a plan for sort of where this film goes next? What happens with the story here?
So tomorrow night on Wednesday, we're doing a theatrical showing. We're selling tickets to at Marcus Theaters, which is 3 miles from Oshkosh. It's in Oshkosh,
yep.
But 3 miles from AirVenture.
Okay.
So 7 o'clock on Wednesday at Marcus Theaters. You can buy tickets on MarcusTheaters.com.
Fantastic.
And I also have more info and merchandise and things. Find our prints on FlyingBoatFilm.com.
FlyingBoatFilm.com.
That's it.
All right. FlyingBoatFilm.com is where you can get more information and get tickets for the sort of public premiere at the Marcus Theater in Oshkosh Wednesday night.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So how long is the runtime?
77 minutes.
Okay. So a good documentary length there. So when you made this film, did you have a mission in mind? Were you trying to accomplish something?
You know, I knew I would find a story, and the albatross speaks to fantasy. You can kind of look at it and see that, wow, what would I do with one? And I kind of just tried to expand on that as much as I could, and we tried to use it to the most of its abilities in our imaginations.
Sure.
So it's beyond just being a fact-based documentary. It's There's a pinch of fantasy in there.
Yeah. Well, and trying to get people's imaginations going.
Yeah.
I think that fits well with this group here, EAA, of course, Experimental Aircraft Association. People willing to be a little imaginative and creative and try something new.
It's the best crowd.
Well, and it's been perfect for the premiere of Flying Boat. Have you been to AirVenture before?
This is my first time.
First time.
Won't be my last.
Well, okay. I'm figuring now. See, you get into the family here, and now they know you, and you're going to have people who are going to be looking for you coming back.
Instant hook.
Yeah, that's right.
That's wonderful.
So you've been here for a few days now.
I have.
First time in Oshkosh writ large.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think it's a wonderful town. I really love the people I've met, and they've been just so supportive, and I'd love to talk to all kinds of people here.
Yeah. It's so you've got the film screening in the Marcus Cinema in Oshkosh Wednesday night.
Wednesday, yep.
Other shows, other events that you're planning to kind of connect this with the aviation community?
I want to see where we go with this theatrical run. Hopefully it'll expand to more.
Okay.
But we're doing in September at Pan Am Museum in Long Island, New York.
Yeah.
So there'll be many more.
Awesome. And back in your neck of the woods of where you grew up in Connecticut, right? Northeast. So
yeah.
Is that still home base for you?
I moved to LA to finish this.
Well, there you go. All right.
That's what it took.
Get the film made. You got to be in LA.
Yep. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful to have you here in Oshkosh. Glad that you're liking it. And I hope a lot of folks will go and check out the theatrical release of Flying Boat. It's going to be at the Marcus Cinema in Oshkosh Wednesday night. What time?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Get more details at flyingboatfilm.com.
Yep.
Dirk Braun is the director and producer of Flying Boat, and I really appreciate the time you took to spend with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
A real pleasure to have you here. Enjoy the rest of your time at AirVenture.
Thank you. You too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I will be here until 11 this morning talking with other folks here at Aviation Headquarters for the week, EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh, 2021 edition. Of course, you know, we had to take the year off last year, so it's even bigger and better this year than it was before. Check out Flying Boat at Marcus Cinemas in Oshkosh, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Get more information about the film and get your tickets at flyingboatfilm.com. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Hunter Cherwick, a surgeon with the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital. Lots to talk about with him and get to know how this flying hospital is also not just healing, but teaching all over the world. We'll talk with Dr. Hunter Cherwick from Orbis Flying Eye Hospital when Fresh Take continues on WHBY. Welcome back to Fresh Take, coming to you live from EAA AirVenture 2021, bringing you unique stories, things you'll only see and hear here, because it is the world's largest aviation extravaganza. All sorts of things you're only ever going to find here. For example, a documentary film about a gigantic flying boat. Flying Boat is the film. We just talked with the director and producer, Dirk Braun. Again, check it out. It's actually going to be screening at the Marcus Cinema in Oshkosh Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Get more information and tickets at flyingboatfilm.com. And I did ask Dirk as he was leaving the tent here. I just kept thinking, I knew about some giant plane. And remember, it is from The Simpsons. Zach, do you remember The Simpsons episode where Monty Burns was flying the Spruce Goose? The gigantic plane made out of balsa wood or something? Do you remember this?
I do not remember.
Oh, okay. So I remember this from a Simpsons episode. It was many years ago. But I did ask him, this was not modeled after Howard Hughes's enormous flying plane. But actually, that flying plane does make an appearance in Flying Boat. So it is not a Grumman Albatross, but it is sort of in that same ilk, and Dirk did get some time with it and film it for Flying Boat. So if you were thinking that same thing I was, but like, was it Howard Hughes have some giant flying boat? Yep, and it's in the film, although it is not a Grumman Albatross. So all kinds of things we learn out here about flight. When you don't know anything, there's a lot to learn, and that's what makes it fun. And we've got a lot more to learn about how you can use a plane both as a hospital and as a classroom. And the folks at Orbis have done this with their Flying Eye Hospital. We're going to learn more about it in just a moment when we talk with Dr. Hunter Cherwick. He's a surgeon with the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital. But I got to let you know, there is all kinds of great stuff happening out here today. And if you come out here and you just wander, you're going to find all sorts of interesting things going on, as well as fun people to meet and talk to. Like, if you are actually super into this aviation stuff, there is no end to the things you're going to find interesting out here. For example, a workshop on planning your kit build. If you're going to build an airplane from a kit, how to plan that out. Or, happening at the same time for maybe a different crew, fly yourself to the Bahamas. I'm thinking Jonathan Krauss will be attending that session right there. But it's all kinds of basics for those who are into this sort of thing. Fabric covering 101, sheet metal 101, this is TIG welding 101, composite 101, gas welding 101. These are classes that are just happening at 1 o'clock today, and the schedule is jam-packed. But there's all kinds of fun stuff for folks who are into all sorts of things. And you just have to page through the schedule, and you're going to find it. But I think anyone and everyone can come out and enjoy the air show, the Tuesday air show on the flight line today, starting at 2:30 going until 6 o'clock. So get out here in time for that. And then stick around, because tonight they're actually going to be screening the film The Fly-In Theater, presented by Ford Motor Company, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. That's at 8:30 tonight at the Fly-In Theater, presented by Ford Motor Company. Also at 8:45, The Balloon Night Glow, and a Twilight Flight Fest for the ultralights. So all kinds of things happening this afternoon, well into tonight. Powered parachutes at 7:30. Remote control flying field, all kinds of stuff happening here at EAA 2021 in Oshkosh. When we come back, we'll get to know Dr. Hunter Cherwick, a surgeon with the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, who will tell us how it's used both for healing and for teaching. We'll have that conversation when we come back with more Fresh Take here on WHBY. Fresh Take is brought to you by Hooper Law Office. Find their offices in Appleton, Green Bay, or Oshkosh, or find them online at hooperlawoffice.com. For your elder law and estate planning needs, Hooper Law Office, providing a pathway to your legacy. And welcome back to Fresh Take. Glad to have you with us, coming to you live from EAA Air Venture 2021 in Oshkosh, bringing you great stories and unique guests that you'll only find at the world's greatest aviation extravaganza. A light rain has resumed here on the grounds, but it is not a damper on the fun at all. And we are thrilled to welcome to the show Dr. Hunter Cherwick. He's a surgeon with the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital. Dr. Cherwick, welcome to Fresh Take.
Oh, well, thank you. It's awesome to be here. And it's such an incredible air show, and to be part of this as part of the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital and meet the people who make our mission possible and thank them face-to-face. This is just so great to be here.
Well, I can already tell you're bringing the enthusiasm, Doctor, and that is good from a radio host perspective. I like it. So before we get to know more about the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, I want to get to know you a little bit more.
Sure.
Share a little bit about your background, where you studied, your experience with these sort of things.
Yeah, so I grew up in Virginia and went to undergrad in North Carolina, went to med school at Duke, and then I did my residency at Emory in Atlanta. The day I finished, I turned in my pager, back when those were a thing, at 5 p.m., and at 8:30 that night, I flew to China to join the Orbis plane, and that was in 2005, and the rest, they say, is history.
Wow, so right out of your medical
straight
residency,
out of the gates,
you were doing this.
I have not taken a day off since med school. So, yes, I've been working and hustling, and I will tell you, this has been the most amazing journey, not just in aviation, but in medicine and seeing the world, but more importantly, helping our patients see the world. I cannot think of a more rewarding way to spend a career, especially in medicine.
So, okay, so let's talk about it then. The mission of Orbis Flying Eye Hospital.
Yeah, so Orbis is a U.S. Headquartered nonprofit. We are exclusively focused on eye care, and we are training, mentoring, and inspiring local communities, building that capacity so they can help treat the conditions that are blinding their citizens. And the plane is our most visible icon. It's been flying since 1982. Obviously,
wow.
We're with a huge aviation community here. We started with a DC-8, then an DC-10, and now we're flying an MD-10, and I welcome all of your listeners to come on board and see it here at the EAA Air Show.
And where is it located here on the ground?
So it's right next to Boeing.
Okay.
And trust me, you'll see the blue tail. We're one of the bigger planes here. And just listen for my voice and follow me, because I am so passionate and excited about talking about our mission. Just follow the Hunter voice.
There you go. And it'll be broadcasting through the air, even without the power of radio.
Absolutely.
You can find them on Boeing Plaza and look for that Orbis Flying Eye Hospital and check that out if you are making your way to the grounds. You're going to be here all week with the Flying Eye Hospital?
Absolutely. And we want to welcome all of our people who are interested in our mission, especially our donors and sponsors. Please come on board. We'd love to show you firsthand what we do and how we do it with the plane.
All right, so let's get into that, the nuts and bolts, the practical. You mentioned how you are traveling the world. You've got a hospital on an airplane. Is that what we're talking about here?
That's exactly right. It's a U.S.-accredited hospital. It's an engineering masterpiece where we took experts from hospital engineering as well as aircraft engineering, put the hospital on board the aircraft so we can go around the world, give the highest level of eye care possible, but also teach. And as you said, our job is not just trying to give the best training possible, but also the best patient care possible, and the plane provides that platform. We have learned so much from aviation. I've learned from our pilots, who are all FedEx pilots. I've learned about checklists. So now, before we start a surgery, we say, this is Mrs. Jones, check. We're doing the right eye, check. We're doing cataract surgery, check. But also simulation. And if you come on board the Flying Eye Hospital, you can see our simulation suite. And just like they've been training pilots through simulation, we are now training surgeons. So you can start in the classroom, so they see one, they sim one, and then they surge one in our OR with surgery.
So you've got doctors who are watching, observing procedures being done by other doctors. So you, Dr. Cherwick, will be doing a procedure, and you'll have doctors watching you. Then in this same facility, they could go and simulate that same procedure they just witnessed you do in real life, and then go on and do that same thing hands-on themselves in the real world.
Shoulder to shoulder with us. And
wow.
One of the things I love, and this is exactly what we learned from aviation, it's not just about training doctors, it's about training the team, the nurses, the anesthesiologists,
sure,
the biomedical engineers. So when we land, it is truly an ophthalmic conference. We will teach school teachers how to identify eye problems in their students. Our Orbis is literally providing the entire patient care pathway. We're involved with community eye health, but the highest level of technology as well, and that's why I love it. And we got a plane going right now, but it's not the Orbis plane. So if your listeners are listening, that's not the Orbis MD-10. We're much louder than that. So am I.
Some more sounds of AirVenture 2021 here from the AirVenture grounds in Oshkosh. It's Fresh Take. I'm Josh Duclo. We're talking with Dr. Hunter Cherwick. So where do you take this hospital? Where are you going?
Where don't we go? We first took flight in 1982. And we've been to more than 95 countries. We focus on low to middle income countries.
Okay.
Countries where they don't have the resources, they don't have the training facilities. So we're able to come in and provide an intensive 2 to 4 week training program where we identify the doctors a year in advance so that we're already establishing the relationships. And part of that is online through our distance learning platform called CyberSight. We have the world's largest freely available educational platform in eye care. We do things like artificial intelligence. We do live webinars, consults. And so when we land, we've already been working with these doctors for a year online. So we've been dating online, and now we're getting married on the Orbis plane in the OR.
So you have a real extensive process that you're going through here where you identify who these professionals are you're going to work with a year before you get on the ground. So when you're there, it's not like you're beginning that process. You're well underway by the time you're on the ground.
Absolutely. We actually know every patient we're going to see 2 weeks in advance with our electronic medical record and that CyberSight platform. So we're discussing the most challenging cases. So when we land, we know exactly what lectures to give, what supplies to bring, what to expect for the OR, the operating room scheduling. So for me, that's what I've loved and what I've learned so much from aviation, logistics, preparation,
sure,
right? If you fail to plan to fail.
And that's true of so much in life.
Yes.
But it is interesting to see how that can apply even in such a regimented environment as surgery. You can still learn some more of these techniques and adapt more of those procedures.
Absolutely. And I think there's so much cultural similarity between medicine and aviation, you know, with process, safety, worrying about the most important piece of equipment in that cockpit is the crew. Same thing with an OR. The most important piece of equipment is that surgical team. How well do they communicate? How well do they train? And that's what we teach, not just how to do the surgery, but the soft skills, how to communicate to a patient. We'll be sometimes the first organization to introduce an informed consent, a patient bill of rights. You know, we do 30% of our cases are children. So we have to our nurses are amazing, and they will take the mom and sit with them while they're waiting for their child and, you know, talk to them about patient care, what to expect. We have a special teddy bear called Seymour, because obviously we're trying to get our children to Seymour.
Clever.
And we have the child put the patch on the eye that they're having done so that they know what to expect when they wake up. And on the next day, they keep the teddy bear, of course. We give every child Seymour the teddy bear. They first take the patch off Seymour so they actually know what to expect. So really, Orbis is all about training, not just medicine, but the whole medical culture, that ecosystem to give the world the best vision possible. And obviously, as pilots, everyone in the aviation world knows how critical vision is. I don't need to tell that to your viewers and listeners.
Right. As Orbis has taken this Flying Eye Hospital to 90 countries in nearly 40 years, how do you overcome language barriers?
Well, so that's one of the things I love about Orbis. Our team has over 16 countries represented. We are the Flying United Nations.
Wow.
And that operating room, to me, is the best example of functional diplomacy I've ever seen. Obviously, we also then will bring in local med students and local residents to also translate, because, you know, my mom doesn't know the word trabecular meshwork and all retina and all these things. So certainly, you know, we will bring in medical community members to also help translate, not only for the patient care, but also the teaching.
Sure.
Yeah.
And particularly when you're dealing with children, then having those effective communication connections is so important, because it's already an intimidating process. They then need the comfort that comes with the familiarity of language.
And that's where Seymour comes in as a comfort agent.
Sure.
Also, you could imagine if you're a child and you're walking on board this, you know, UFO surrounded by funny looking people like me wearing a mask and speaking a language you don't understand. Well, we have this entire waiting area. We sit them down. They watch a Disney movie. We do coloring books. We sit with the parents. So, you know, for me, that's where our nurses are just world class.
Yeah.
And they are literally some of the world's best nurses on the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital. We have volunteers from over 30 countries. So we have a huge team of volunteers. Over 400 volunteers work with Orbis. Our volunteer pilots, aircraft engineers. It's just so exciting. You can hear my energy, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a demanding job, but it's such a rewarding job. It's this incredible cycle of energy that we try to give and take.
We've talked a lot about the patients that you're treating. When you're training medical professionals in these communities, you mentioned there's a lot of lead-up time where you're helping to get them upskilled. In the weeks you're on the ground, that's got to be a pretty intensive period of training for those professionals.
Absolutely. They will say they learn more during their month with Orbis than they did for 3 years of their residency.
Wow.
And that's because we're bringing in world experts. We're doing high-intensity simulation. They don't have some of the computer simulators and the Model Eyes and all this. So they really go to boot camp.
Yeah.
And literally, we work 14-hour days. But everyone wakes up ready to go to work and ready to give that patient their best vision.
Yeah. So how many doctors are there like you, Dr. Cherwick, like people doing the same thing you are?
So the nice thing is, you know, there are a lot of – we have 4 ophthalmologists on the Flying Eye Hospital. We also have ophthalmologists in our 18 country offices. But again, what I love, just like there's a tight community amongst aviation, there's a huge community amongst ophthalmology. And so, you know, here in Wisconsin, I just met with 2 of our volunteers. One's from Milwaukee, Annette Gian Giacomo. The other's from here in Appleton, Mike Vrabeck. Well, he's been volunteering with Orbis for decades. And so for me, that's what I love, is no matter where you go in the world, there's an Orbis family member, an Orbis friend. The footprint of Orbis is incredible. And part of that obviously has been delivered and propagated through aviation. So again, I just want to thank your listeners. It's so great to come here and have a home, not just for our plane, but also for our team.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dr. Michael Vrabeck is a volunteer with your organization.
Absolutely. He's one of the few doctors who's been with Orbis on all 3 planes, and he himself is a pilot. And what I love about it is he understands the aircraft side and the medical side. So
sure.
I had dinner with him last night, and I can tell you we had an amazing time talking about Orbis history. He took me through his house, and he has photos of where he brought his kids, his children, to Orbis programs. So, yeah, it's great to come here and be in Wisconsin and feel like you're at home.
Sure.
You know what Orbis, the old saying is, your home is where your suitcase is. But it's always nice to have a home-cooked meal and the love and interest that people have come on the plane and show us is just awesome. We have kids that just want to be doctors as well as pilots, so it's fun.
So let's finish it with that then. As far as what's happening on the grounds here, you're going to have the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital available for people who can come check it out.
Absolutely. It's freely available. You know, please come between 9 and 5. EAA has asked us to stop tours at 5 p.m. We also have movies. You can come and look at our tent. One of the things we purposely did, we have signed a partnership with Microsoft for the Xbox, and the Orbis plane is now featured in their Xbox simulator. So you can be, if you come to our tent, you can be some of the first to see the new flight simulator with Microsoft and Xbox. So it's super exciting. We got a lot to talk about how we've used Hometown Heroes here in Wisconsin. You can see our simulators. You can actually be some of the first in the world to see the Xbox flight simulator that actually has the Orbis plane and some of the places where we go, like Mongolia, and it's just awesome. So please come on board. You're more than welcome. If you haven't heard about Orbis, you better know a lot more about Orbis when you step off the plane, because I talk a lot, as you can tell.
Hey, I love it. You're perfect for radio. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Doctor, and it's so inspiring to know that an organization like Orbis is out there prioritizing the vision of people in disadvantaged places, but not just going in, swooping in, doing some procedures, and hopping off to the next place. Investing in those communities, really making sure that those communities are better off after Orbis has been there.
Yes, you just summed it up beautifully. Our job is not to show off, it's to show how. And for me, I've learned as much from the doctors and nurses I've worked with around the world as I've taught. And so for me, that's what I love, is this exchange of skills, exchange of knowledge. I have seen diseases at Orbis that I never saw during my residency in Atlanta. And so for me, I can't think of a more rewarding job. I know when people listen and watch the news, they get frustrated and depressed. Come out and hear the news we're doing at Orbis. I guarantee you'll leave that plane with a smile.
Yeah, there's no way that you could come out here and meet Dr. Cherwick and get to see the Orbis Eye Hospital, Flying Eye Hospital, and not walk away with a smile on your face. It's a really heartwarming mission, a global reach, and it has local connections. It's the perfect story, and we're so glad we could help to share it here at EAA Air Venture 2021 in Oshkosh. Dr. Hunter Cherwick is a surgeon with Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, taking his services all over the world with a team of ophthalmologists and helping the world see better. We really appreciate it. Dr. Cherwick, great to meet you.
Hey, thank you, and I hope to see you on the plane soon.
Well, I hope so too. And I hope you, dear listener, will come down and check it out. Make sure you add the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital to your checklist, because that's what it's all about in aviation, is checklists. Check out the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital here on the grounds at Boeing Plaza, and make sure you get there before 5, because, you know, we want to follow the rules. That's how it works here. That's how we keep everybody happy. Dr. Hunter Cherwick with Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, what a great conversation. And, yeah, that guy brings the energy, no doubt. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be wrapping up this hour, previewing the next with great guests. Stick around, lots more to come here on Fresh Take from EAA Air Venture 2021 in Oshkosh. More after this on WHBY. Real local radio, bringing you real close to EAA Air Venture 2021. So close, we are in the middle of it. Broadcasting to you live from the vintage area just outside the bookstore, down the ways from Boeing Plaza, and we've got all the Air Venture coverage you can handle here at WHBY for the week of Air Venture 2021. 2 years awaiting, and so much excitement. You could hear it there in Dr. Hunter Cherwick's voice. He was just stoked to be here to do this and seeing the connections between aviation and the surgery that they're doing. Jonathan Krause from the WHBY news team with me here. You get to prowl the grounds here, Jonathan, and scrounge up stories and guests and make these arrangements for us. That's got to be a pretty cool experience, having done this year after year.
It is. And what I like and what you just experienced is the passion that everyone has for everything that they do, whether it be the guy who, as we mentioned before, built his own plane and flew it here for the first time and it's a dream come true for him, or the people who have volunteered or are teaching others how to do things in terms of aviation.
That's one of the things that I think is, for someone like me who has heard about this my whole life, but it wasn't until 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I first broadcast here, was my first trip onto the grounds and really devouring what's all going on here. This is like a week-long professional development conference.
Oh, absolutely.
For amateur aviation enthusiasts.
Yeah, that was the idea when Paul Poberesny put this together. It was 20 guys who like to fly planes, and they wanted to learn more about flying planes, and then they wanted to build their own planes. Steve Whitman, for whom the airport is built, he built his own racing planes.
What?
Yes.
I like watching those aerial races. I know Red Bull was doing a series,
yes.
A whole league of that for a while. That was fun to watch. I don't know that I would tackle that in a homemade craft, though. That's...
But the problem was nobody else was making them.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah.
So you had to make your own.
Yeah. If you wanted it,
yeah.
You had to make one.
Or if you thought, you know what, that plane goes fast, but I can make it faster.
See, that's what I think drives
yes.
a lot of this. It's the innovation, it's the creativity and the insight that an individual can have and be like, wait a second, I understand how this works, and I could make it better.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of this comes from.
Yep. And for Dirk, we were talking after you were done. He was waiting for his ride to get back. Bert Rutan was here. For him, that was a huge deal. Bert Rutan, who's designed some of the most revolutionary airplanes that we've ever seen, the opportunity to meet him.
So speaking of Dirk, Dirk was our first guest today, the director of Flying Boat, which is going to be screened Wednesday night at 7 at the Marcus Cinema in Oshkosh. You can check out flyingboatfilm.com for more details and for tickets. We were talking about this as we went off the air, this idea of the Howard Hughes plane, the Spruce Goose.
Yes.
And I was confusing it with a Simpsons storyline. I got a bunch of emails from folks, including our Wolverhampton, England correspondent, Alan, tuning in this week, says he has seen the Spruce Goose when it was on display in Long Beach, California.
Yep.
He says, by the way, it's not made of balsa, Josh. It's made of spruce. The clue is in the name. It's right there for you. Thank you, Alan, for straightening me out.
It's a good thing I wasn't on the headset at the time you said that.
Phil checking in from the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh saying the Plywood Pelican is based on Howard
yes.
Hughes's Spruce Goose. So all kinds of novelty experimental aircraft of all sorts. But this is what is so fun about AirVenture. This is like coming to a dog show with a dog lover. This, you know, this is where you are. People are in their element, and they're with their people. And it is one of the most fun environments to be in. I'm not one of those people who's into it, but just seeing the excitement, the joy, the enthusiasm, it drips off of everyone you
sure.
see.
There have been years when I've left here and I've thought, I should really get a pilot's license. But then reality kicks in.
I was going to say, right, and I suspect maybe your better half might have something to say about that. Or would she be in favor?
With my struggle with anything mechanical, I don't think she'd be in favor of that.
She knows how that is all going to turn out.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, yes. So we are going to have more coverage for you live from the world's greatest aviation celebration. That is, of course, EAA AirVenture, happening all week here at the EAA Aviation Center in Oshkosh. Thrilling aerobatic displays, informative programs, hand-on workshops, the flight shows, the night air shows. There is so much excitement here. If you've never been, come check it out. In fact, this would be a great time to come on down because the rain has stopped and the crowds are still pretty thin, so a great opportunity to come down on the grounds, get your ticket ahead of time, make it nice and smooth on your way in. But if you can't make it to the grounds, make sure you stay tuned to WHBY all week. We'll have live coverage, including Haley Ten Pass back here from 11 to 1 on Thursday, and Dave Edwards bringing AM Fox Valley here from 6 a.m. to 8:30 on Friday. I'm here until 11, so another hour of fresh take from EAA AirVenture coming up right after the news, and we'll kick it off with Amy Albright from Visit Oshkosh. Stay tuned. Take is brought to you by Hooper Law Office. You can find their offices in Green Bay, Appleton, or in Oshkosh, or find them online at hooperlawoffice.com. For your elder law and estate planning needs, Hooper Law Office, providing a pathway to your legacy. Welcome back to Fresh Take. I'm your host, Josh Duclo. It's Tuesday, July 27th, and I've got conversations to get you thinking, not tell you what to think. Coming to you live from the grounds of EAA Air Venture Oshkosh 2021. Glad to have you along with us, and glad to have our man Zach Morris working the boards for us back in the Myron Construction Studio. Coming to you from our impromptu broadcast tent here between the vintage area and the theater in the woods. For those of you who are familiar with the grounds, we've got a little demonstration going on with a prop plane right in front of us and some fun all over the grounds throughout the day. The rain has stopped. It's a bit breezy, but it is a beautiful day to come out and enjoy EAA Air Venture 2021 because people have been waiting a long time for this, and that is going to be part of our conversation with our next guest. She joins me here live on location. It's Amy Albright with Visit Oshkosh. Amy, welcome to Fresh Take.
I am so happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here.
This is so exciting.
I can only imagine how happy you are
yes.
to have all of this
yes.
going on right now in real life.
Yes, I almost got in an accident on the way here because I saw the blimp and I had to take a picture, which you should not do when you're driving. And then, yeah, that was not good. But it's so exciting to see the activity. You know, if you've never been to AirVenture, and you're in the area, come out.
Yep.
I mean, it is, even if you're not an aviation fan, this is something to see. It is world class.
I grew up hearing about it my whole life and never saw it for myself until just a few years ago, and words cannot capture what is going on here. It's a mix between a professional development convention and a class reunion.
Yes.
And multiply that by 10.
Yes.
The scale is unbelievable. So we're going to get back to EAA in
yes.
our second segment, Amy, but I want to start with the big picture, of course. The reason there's so much excitement around this and so many events this summer is because we missed out on all of this in the summer of 2020.
Yes.
So let's go back and talk a little bit about what that summer was like.
Yes.
You're director of Visit Oshkosh. You're promoting tourism and events
yep.
and things happening. What was that summer of 2020 like for the economy in Wisconsin's event city?
Yeah, it was not fun.
Yeah.
So typically tourism is pretty fun. That's what we do. We sell
right.
fun, right? And so when the pandemic hit, we all kind of, I think, can agree that we thought we can get through this, right? 6 weeks, 2 months, you know, we really didn't know what it was going to look like. And honestly, when AirVenture made the decision to cancel, it was a very hard decision for them. And they waited. And once that was, once that pin dropped, or I don't know, a plane analogy, I don't know. That's not a good one. But anyway.
You don't want the pins dropping.
We don't want any pins dropping.
Yeah.
But it was really devastating.
Yeah.
So the economic impact of EAA, they did a study in 2017, and it's like $170 million over five counties. So it's not just Oshkosh.
Right.
It's not just Winnebago County. It's all of our surrounding area. And it's not just hospitality. It is entertainment. It is obviously the obvious ones, restaurants, but it's landscapers. It is all the vendors. It is porta potties.
Yeah.
It is tents.
Yeah.
It is everything that you can imagine that goes into an event and has that trickle effect. The fuel that is sold during AirVenture, devastating.
You mentioned landscaper. This was something I was noticing walking in. It was a little calmer when I was walking in this morning than it has in the past, of course. Smaller crowds, bit of a drizzle. I noticed this. A lot of the vendors, a lot of the displays will have their planes set up and then add a lot of little landscaping touches, mulch and flowers and plants and things, really making it look natural, almost like it's supposed to be there.
Yes.
And none of that happened.
No. And they even the study that they did, UW Oshkosh did the study, and they found that the mining industry was actually impacted by AirVenture because of the gravel that is brought in. So it's deep,
yeah.
right? It's so deep. And obviously hospitality in general was affected worldwide.
Yeah.
And that is my world. So, of course, that was devastating. But it just so much trickle effect.
Yeah. So we know that this is a big impact over the five-county region. When it's gone, I suspect you try to do what you can to try to compensate and make up for it. There's just no filling a hole that big.
There isn't. And so we really, what we did is we really tried to focus on support local, mm-hmm. be a tourist in your own town. What are the things you can actually do? For a while, there wasn't very much you could do other than, you know, carry out pizza and, you know, eat.
Yeah. And we like to do that too.
I did a lot of that. That was good. But, you know, there was a lot of, you know, places that had more outdoor recreation. So, of course, for Oshkosh and our surrounding areas, a lot of boating, a lot of trails, a lot of golf, a lot of that, you know, those activities, that outdoor activities that people could do. You know, I kept saying, do our ads have to say, go to the trail by yourself and enjoy.
Well, this is something I've talked about with your counterpart in the Fox Cities, Pam Seidel.
Yes, and I love Pam. Shout out.
Yes, absolutely. Big friend of the show. Talking about the difference between large group tourism, which we have a lot of,
yep,
and the smaller individual or small group tourism, yes, which we have some of,
yes,
but really opening our eyes in 2020 to the importance of having the right mix of all of those opportunities available. When the one side gets completely shut down, you really want to emphasize the other, and that's been a kind of an eye-opener.
100%. I mean, if I said the word pivot or resiliency or mix, one time I said them a million,
sure,
and I think that is, very eye-opening. Events, number one, aren't for everybody, right? This, to me, is so exciting. You see these people gathering. It's so great. Some people would rather have that trail experience where it's a little bit more private. And all of that is part of our tourism mix. Wisconsin is very fortunate to have really a great mix of both. Destinations like Door County did really well, yeah, during the pandemic, yeah, because they kind of had that perfect mix for the pandemic.
Yep.
So, I think we will definitely work towards building out that mix as we move forward.
Yeah, and that's going to be a priority for a lot of communities.
Yes.
Where you know what you have, and now you've discovered what more you could be offering.
Correct.
Keep the visitors to stay a little longer.
Right, and it's all there.
Right.
It's all there. It's not like we have to make this up. That's what I keep thinking. It's like, we have these amazing lakes. We have amazing trails. We have great golf courses.
Yeah.
We have, just so much to offer. So why don't we add that to our promotional mix?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know I remember seeing earlier this summer, a feature on a program where businesses like breweries and wineries and things were offering their parking lots to people who'd come and camp for,
yes,
a night. It was like a share kind of membership,
yes,
thing.
Yes, yes.
The innovation we've seen in the midst of this is another sort of silver lining on this cloud, isn't it?
I would completely agree. I was so impressed with people. We have a little place in Oshkosh. This is a shout out to Pete's Garage Bar. And it's just a fun place. They've got great burgers, but they were delivering those burgers in costumes to make it fun during the pandemic. So it was like people couldn't wait to get their hamburger because it was like, who's going to deliver it? A banana? A taco? They were dressed as Hooters girls.
Okay.
And they are
a wide
men.
Variety.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just think, people really tried to do their best to, yeah, like call attention to what they could do, mm-hmm, get innovative, whether that was delivery or just fun sushi making kits that you could do at home, at a local restaurant, do that. Super fun.
Yeah.
It's
so
cool.
Now that was obviously last summer. Difficult, challenging.
Yes.
Visit Oshkosh worked really hard to get small business, the community, even,
yes,
the tourists who were coming at the,
yes,
time, connected with the resources that were there. Are you feeling the difference between summer 2020 and summer 2021?
Yes, yes. It's so great to see people back. And I think people have a bigger appreciation for what really travel means, right? Whether that's traveling to, for us, if we live in this area, just going to Milwaukee for a day trip, we missed that. And so seeing people coming from all over the country, international travel is still a bit of a question mark.
Right.
But really seeing people come here, I think vaccinations, have been a big ticket item here at AirVenture. We have a population here that felt like if they got vaccinated, they were coming. They were not missing this again. What people maybe don't realize about AirVenture is that this is like kind of a bucket list item for aviators and people in this aviation world. And so when they get here, they may have waited 80 years.
Right.
I just saw a piece yesterday, 101-year-old man is out here about to turn 102 and couldn't wait to return. So he may not have 20 more years to get here.
I think you might be talking about Colonel McGee.
Yes!
The Tuskegee Airman. I was fortunate to interview him my first year here.
Oh, I loved it.
So he is a perennial visitor,
yes,
here. He loves it, with grandson in tow this,
yes,
year. Great story. It is, and that's what so much of this excitement is about. We were talking with Jonathan Krauss before the 10 o'clock news about the innovation in the actual aircraft, right? People who are into improving their plane and building their own machine and really,
yes,
into that level of it. But there's also then just the human story, the really inspiring tales that you hear and can meet really only right here. Yes, we can relay them to you over the radio, but we really love for folks to come and check these things out in person.
Absolutely. And one other thing I like to mention is that if you have a child who thinks airplanes are cool, bring them.
Yes.
Bring them. So this year, as a partnership, I believe with Boeing, they have free admission for kids with an adult purchase. And bring your kids out here. They will be wild. There's an entire kid area, but just walking around and seeing these airplanes, the photography you will get of your small child next to that UPS plane it will be a keeper. That's you'll probably frame it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Keepsake item that you'll treasure for years.
Yes.
We're going to come back to EAA in our second segment, talk more about the impact of this event on the economy of this region. But before we get out of the bigger picture on tourism, I know one of the concerns with hospitality and lots of businesses is hiring, staffing. Is this something you're hearing from businesses in the Oshkosh area?
Yes. You know, I think I always call it the supply chain, right? So all of these places had to kind of shut down or really minimize and get gritty, and now it's like, oh, we need everybody back right now.
Crank that production back up.
Let's go.
Instantly.
And so definitely I have heard that. I think people are making do and figuring it out. I was at a local restaurant, and I saw the owners bussing tables and running food out, and I think people are willing. I talked to them, and I said, well, how's it going? And they said, we would 100% rather have it like this than how it was.
Yeah.
So we'll get there, I believe. I think that, you know, with UW Oshkosh, a lot of those students left. They didn't stay here during the pandemic, so we didn't get them over the summer. You know, there's a lot of those things you kind of take for granted that here's these big pools of people we can draw from, and they're not here.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So we'll get there.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a concern, I think. Out here, I was so impressed when I was parking. There were all people. I'm like, look at people working.
Yes,
And a lot of the people out here are volunteering, which is really amazing.
It is great to see. And so I know Oshkosh, not unique in these staffing challenges, but that's it. Every place I've talked to, everywhere I've visited in the past few months, you do see the difference, but people are making it work.
Yep, and you have to, right?
Yeah, yeah. We don't have a choice.
We
got to have fun. You want to get out, you're going to have to just take what's on offer at this point.
Yes, and be patient.
Finding our way back to that equilibrium.
Yes.
We're talking with Amy Albright with Visit Oshkosh about the impact of EAA Air Venture, having been gone last year, and being back this year in summer 2021. We'll have more with her when we return right after this with more Fresh Take here on WHBY. In about 10 minutes here at EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, we'll learn about the U.S. Air Force Flying COVID Hospital. Yeah, the Air Force has to deal with it too, and they have a great story to tell. Captain Amanda Montgomery will join us from the U.S. Air Force to talk about their onboard COVID care chamber. In fact, as I was walking across the grounds this morning, I got to take a peek. I didn't go inside or anything. It's too early. But I did take a peek, so we'll get to learn more about that when we're joined by Captain Amanda Montgomery here in about 10 minutes. But right now, we're discussing the impact of Air Venture and EAA on the economy of Oshkosh with Amy Albright from Visit Oshkosh. Amy, EAA Air Venture is a huge bonus for the community. We talked a little bit about that.
Yes.
You mentioned the wide array of small businesses that are touched by this endeavor. This is not just for aviators or aviation enthusiasts. That's something for everyone.
Absolutely. It is so great. And I think I would be the perfect example of this. So I'm not a pilot. I really don't know very much about aviation other than getting on a plane and going places, which I love to do.
Sure.
But you are just wowed. I mean, if you like people watching, come to Air Venture.
Amen.
If you like just excitement and people just being passionate about something that is just it's very incredible. And so I think there's definitely something for everybody. But then, you know, we have a lot of people who come. Maybe one of the, you know, say they're a couple and one of the spouses is really into aviation and maybe the other one isn't maybe as passionate about
it.
We will see them at our visitor center and they will come down and say, what can we do? And so they're exploring Oshkosh and the surrounding areas. You know, they might be going to the Payne Arts Center. They might be going to the museum. You know, they're checking out the breweries.
They might be spending 10 days here.
Yes.
And they realize, okay, five of those at EAA is probably enough.
They're good. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, I think we've talked about the pent-up demand of just people wanting to do things.
Yeah.
But I have this strong belief, this is my own little research, but I think there's pent-up dollars right now that people are wanting to spend because they haven't. People haven't done anything.
Right.
So yesterday, it was hilarious. We had a woman from Colorado step in. She picked up some postcards, and she said, you know, I would fill these out here, but I think I'm going to go to a brewery and do that. And she was on a bike. She said, my husband's going to have to find me there. If he steps in here, let him know where I am.
Oh, that's funny.
And, you know, people are out and exploring and doing things. So, you know, we have such great things for them, for people to see off the grounds as well.
That's fantastic to point out that there is more than just the air show, too, for those who are here for the air show.
Yes.
And the air show is but 1 week a year, Amy.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about how EAA contributes the other 51 weeks of the year.
They are such an amazing partner. They're such an amazing venue. They really have a world-class museum here all year long that people come for. They run events. Now, of course, that was another big impact of COVID, was they're bringing in all sorts of educational and inspirational things all year long. They run a huge event called Hops and Props, which is a big beer tasting event, kind of a world-class beer event. I feel like I've said world-class a number of times, but that's because literally everything that is done out here is just done. It's done well. It's awesome. So they do so much. I was noticing on my way out here, just all the different nonprofits that are working out here that are making money, helping AirVenture by, you know, selling water, selling soda, doing whatever, but then they're making money for their club or their, you know, their group. EAA is just, they're a major employer in our community. They're an incredible partner. Yeah. So definitely you want to check out the museum. If you're not coming to AirVenture, check out the museum maybe a different week.
Sure. Yeah, that's probably.
Because you might have to like manage some traffic as you're out here.
Not as convenient to get to the museum this week as it normally would
be. Yes, but they bring in just, you know, just amazing. I mean, whether it's astronauts or pilots, and they do all sorts of things all year long. And so you definitely want to check out. You want to check out AirVenture and EAA all year long.
Absolutely. And right now, perhaps you can hear in the background some bagpipes. We've got some unique musical stylings going on. Before, there was like a doo-wop group singing Mr. Sandman. All kinds of sights and sounds. We are broadcasting live from the Vintage area, just to the east of the theater in the woods. We are sitting behind some prop planes with a demonstration going on while the music is cranking up. You can hear the plane engines in the background. Amy, I can only imagine the sights and sounds of this week are something you have been waiting for and craving for quite some time.
Yes. So, you know, I think another thing that COVID taught us and is, you know, we shouldn't take things for granted, right? And I think sometimes we have residents who, you know, this is the 52nd year.
Yes.
So, you know, 2019 was the 50th anniversary, 50 years in Oshkosh. Pretty amazing. And it can get loud, right? We're hearing it right now. So, you know, there's planes shooting over and there's all sorts of traffic. And I think most people right now are not complaining about that, if that makes
sense.
That's
exactly right.
So I hope that that is something that we've learned and kind of we remember that, you know, when people are coming to our town, that we're welcoming and that we're excited to have them and that we're excited about the things that are happening in our town. Be a tourist in your own town. There's so much going on. And if you don't like it, you can be a tourist somewhere else.
That's right. That's right. Go check out another city this week. Yes. Well, we talked to Dirk, the director of the Flying Plane documentary, Dirk Braun.
Yes.
He mentioned this is his first time in Oshkosh. He loved it. The people were so nice and friendly. He's having a great time. And I suspect his experience is similar to many others. And Amy Albright is constantly thinking about making sure the visitors have a good time. She's, of course, the director of Visit Oshkosh. Amy, we appreciate your time today.
So fun and so happy to be here.
I can feel the excitement. Thank you so much for
the
time.
Thank you.
That's Amy Albright with Visit Oshkosh. When we come back, Captain Amanda Montgomery with the U.S. Air Force will join us to talk about the Air Force's onboard COVID care chamber. We'll have that story when Fresh Take continues right after this on WHBY.
Sick of all told you so. You know it's time to grow up in this town.
Real Local Radio coming to you live from EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. We got prop planes, we got bagpipers, we've got it all, including the U.S. Air Force on site here on the grounds. And our next guest is with them, the U.S. Air Force. We're talking with Captain Amanda Montgomery. Captain Montgomery, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much. And you're with the U.S. Air Force. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and your service.
Sure. I am assigned to the Air Mobility Command Surgeon's Office out of Scott Air Force Base, Illinois.
Okay.
And I've been serving for 15 years now.
It's 15 years in the service. Where did you grow up?
I claim Kansas.
Okay.
I'm an Army brat.
Okay.
So that's where I went to high school. That's where my parents are. So that's my hometown.
There we go. Okay. Lots of places.
Yes.
So you grew up with a family in the service. Is that what inspired you to join the military as well?
It is. I knew I was going to join the military. I left when I was 17, and my dad said the only place I could go was the Air Force, so here I am.
Nice when those decisions are simple, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Captain Montgomery, tell us about the training that you had in the Air Force. You're not a flyer, right?
No, I am not a flyer. So I joined the Air Force as a public health technician. I went to basic training down in San Antonio with everybody else, and then I went over to Brooks City Base in San Antonio and did training for public health there. While in the Air Force, I've gotten my degree, and I applied for a commission, and so here I am now as serving as a Medical Service Corps officer for the Air Force.
Did you know going into the service that medical and health is something that you wanted to focus on, or was that a surprise to you?
I didn't. So once I got in as public health, right, working for the medical service, I met a couple great MSC officers that gave us a briefing, and I was like, that's it. That's what I want to be. And so that's what inspired me to become an MSC as well.
That's one of the really fun things about talking with folks who serve in the military is there are so many jobs within military uniformed service that you can be talking to someone in military and they're in medical, they're in logistics, it's all these different things. And your role actually combines the health function with some logistics functions because you're actually responsible for, okay, you're going to have to give us a technical terminology, but it's an onboard containment unit that is actually within a plane.
Correct.
So what kind of plane are we talking about?
So we can fly in the back of a C-17 or a KC-130.
Okay.
For here, we're in the back of a C-17. The Pittsburgh unit was kind enough to go pick it up for us and bring us here to Oshkosh. So between those two aircraft, we are able to fly around the world.
So those different kinds of cargo aircraft, is that accurate?
Correct.
See, I'm going to be bumbling my way through all this terminology. So the really important thing here is not in this case, of course, the planes are the thing here,
yes.
But in this case, it's what's inside the plane, this containment unit. Tell me about this. What are we talking about here?
Sure. So in the back of the C-17, we have a negatively pressurized Connex. And what that was developed to do was safely transport highly contagious disease patients around the world. What it does with the negative pressure is it keeps the unit contained, and it keeps the cabin safe, and it keeps our flyers flying.
So you have folks who may have communicable disease, need to be transported.
Correct.
Did I already get a word wrong?
No. You're good.
You need to be transported. And so within this unit, you can provide care as well as keep everyone around outside the unit safe from being contaminated.
Correct. Yep. So we can transport anything from COVID-19 to Ebola. So if we have people that need to be moved that are contagious, we can get them inside this box and get them to the next echelon of care.
I see. So taking them from where they might be to where they need to go in as safe a way as possible.
Correct.
So where would this capability be deployed? What kind of scenario might you be doing this in?
Sure. So we actually have these units deployed around the globe right now. So each one is strategically placed, right? So they're able to get to wherever they need to. So we have some out at Travis Air Force Base in California. We have some in Dover Air Force Base, Delaware, Ramstein, Germany, Kadena Air Force Base, and then we also have some in Al Udeid.
And so these are pre-positioned to get where they need to go quickly.
Correct.
And so what would prompt a deployment of one of these away from the base? What would cause it to go out and do something like this?
Sure. So say Africa, for instance, if they needed some help transporting patients with Ebola,
okay,
or of the kind,
okay,
we are able to assist them with that sort of incident.
So would these be mostly humanitarian type missions that you're going on where this need is there, or are you deploying into battlefields as well?
It can be either.
Okay.
So medical, we go wherever the need is, regardless if it's a combat-related incident or if it's a humanitarian support. So right now, we have done over 65 missions with the NPC, moving over 300 patients around the world. Specifically, right, service members, contractors, GS, and their family members of what we've moved so far.
Okay, so this is where the military would have a special interest or obligation in making sure this person can be transported safely.
Correct. When the military says that no one's left behind, they really mean no one's left behind.
Yeah, they sure do. Okay, so talk to me a little bit about the practical side of this. You get an order, you're going out with your negative pressure chamber containment unit. What do you have to do? What kind of planning is involved in deploying?
Sure. So the first thing, we have the requirement come up. So then we coordinate with our Air Operations Center to secure an aircraft, right? Because we have no dedicated airlift for air medical evacuation. So they secure a lift for us. We load up the NPC and the air crew to go with it, and they fly into where they need to. They will load the patient in the front and close the unit up and be able to take off after that.
And so once you've taken off, now you have this person who needs to be contained, or at least their whatever the disease that they have, what they're dealing with, needs to be contained and isolated. How many other folks, you and your colleagues, are on that plane?
Sure. So it definitely depends on the type of patient we have inside the aircraft, right? So the NPC light, which is what people can see here at Oshkosh, we can fit 15 passengers inside. So now, if there are litter-bound patients, of course, we have less space. Or if we have ambulatory patients, there are less space. So depending on the type of patients we're transporting is how many people we can load in. And then also how many medical staff we need inside to take care of those individuals.
Now, I'd assume if there are multiple people in that unit, they all would be dealing with the same issue.
Right.
Theoretically, yeah.
For the patients, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, they'd all be dealing with the same. We won't put anyone in there that doesn't need to be in
there. Right,
the
Ebola and the COVID and everybody gets thrown in there together. That's not how it works.
No.
Right.
Yep, and then our medical staff that stay inside, they're actually in full PPE and have to wear a PAPR to keep them protected as well, right, because they're inside exposed to the individuals that are there.
Right. Okay, so the idea is you have the facility there to be able to transport while providing care in this safe, isolated space so that everyone else on the plane can be focused on the flying and the logistics and not worried about being contaminated.
Correct. That's exactly what we do.
Wow. So then are you often transporting to military hospitals and other bases for additional care?
Yep. So most likely we're transporting to another military installation for care.
Wow. So obviously COVID-19 isn't the only thing that this can do, but I suspect that there's been a lot of need for this service over the past year or so.
Right. So what actually happened in March of 2020, the United States Transportation Commander submitted for a JUON. So a JUON is a Joint Urgent Operational Need requirement, and that's what gave us the funding and the development of the NPC. So with that, by June of 2020, we had the first one out in operation.
Allow me to interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
These didn't exist until someone commissioned them to be made in March of 2020?
Correct. These did not exist. So we had an older unit. It was called a TIS, a Transportation Isolation System.
Okay.
Not user-friendly.
Okay.
Could only transport 2 to 4 patients at a time. So we have quadrupled our capability with this new negatively pressurized Connex.
So this is something we've talked about on this show both today and previously, is the innovation that was driven in so many ways by the needs of the pandemic period. This is another example.
It is. It precisely is.
So it was something you had maybe not great capacities for doing,
yeah,
and now you've got something better to be able to address this on a larger scale and to be able to do this. So you have taken trips on this, been deployed with the negative pressure?
So not me. I'm a med planner. I'm on the ground. I help them plan their mission and get the equipment where it needs to go. So I help coordinate the negatively pressurized Connex to the location. We have great teams that are deployed to support these. There's anything from, you know, we have flight nurses, providers, technicians. We also have ground team that are out there too, right, that are responsible to help maintain it, to clean it, all of that stuff. Yeah.
We talked earlier with a doctor from the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital.
Okay.
And a similar thing of just the incredible capability of the medical professionals who are on board there. But he was talking too about the logistics that's required with some of these things. So you're actually there helping to coordinate getting the unit on the plane, making sure the plane is taken off and landing in the right places, and having all those permissions cleared up.
Yep, exactly. That's precisely what I do.
Fantastic. So Is this a career for the rest of your life? Is this the kind of thing that you could see yourself doing forever?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a medical planner. That's what I'm going to do. Oh,
I love that. We're talking with Captain Amanda Montgomery with the U.S. Air Force, and she is here showcasing the negative pressure Connex?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm getting it. See, one word at a time I can pick up. An onboard containment unit to isolate patients with communicable disease for transport to additional medical treatment. So this could be going into, you know, I'm thinking about Afghanistan, other places where we have contractors, locals on the ground, as well as military personnel. But other places as well, these are pre-positioned around the world to get to where they need to go quickly. So how long does something like that take? If you get a need for one of these, you're helping to coordinate and make it happen. How long does that take to get it up and where it needs to go?
Sure. So if they have aircraft available and get it loaded up, we can be off the ground within a couple hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's key because oftentimes these are urgent cases where you need to get someone to additional medical treatment.
Correct. If we're having to move you when you have a contagious disease, then the situation is very serious.
If they're calling Captain Montgomery, it is a serious situation.
Yes.
That's right. Well, and so we're grateful that you're there doing your part of this, as well as all the other roles that have to get played. That's a big part of military life, but Air Force is everybody's got a function to play.
We do. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you specialize in your area and you develop those expertise. You've been doing this, did you say 15 years now?
15 years now.
So an exciting role to play, even if it's, you aren't the one maybe giving the medical care, you aren't the one flying the plane, just as important a role of making sure all those parts are in place when they need to be.
Right. We get them off the ground.
Yeah. That's very exciting. Captain Amanda, I keep on wanting to call you doctor because it's medical context again. Nope. Captain Amanda Montgomery with the U.S. Air Force, hailing out of, she claims, Kansas. Military upbringing, so all over the country. And right now you're in Illinois, did you say?
I am in Illinois. In Scott Air Force Base.
Well, we're glad to have you here up in Oshkosh. Glad to have the plane, the unit here, the negative pressure Connex is on display. Can folks come and see it and take a tour?
Yes, absolutely. So the back of the C-17 is open. Everyone can walk up the ramp. We have display boards as well as medical staff on the C-17 to explain what it is we do.
Well, not only can you see a C-17 on the inside, but you can also see this negative pressure Connex help to contain disease when they're transporting patients for additional medical care. Captain Amanda Montgomery is a medical planner helping to make sure these resources get where they need to be to do the job they're designed to do. We really appreciate you being here with us today on Fresh Take.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. Captain Amanda Montgomery with the U.S. Air Force. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you can hear the sounds in the background, folks. You can hear singing. You can hear planes. It is Air Venture 2021. And yes, the sun is out. It is shining. The wind has calmed. The rain has stopped. It's going to be a beautiful day for flying. And the afternoon air show starts at 2:30. So make sure you get down here and get in on the grounds before then. You'll want to see that show. And there is so much to see. But when we come back, all we've got time left to do is wrap things up with the takeaway. We'll do that right after this when Fresh Take continues on WHBY. From EAA Air Venture Grounds in Oshkosh for Air Venture 2021. It's Fresh Take. I'm Josh Duclo, and all we got time left to do is wrap things up here with the Ladies for Liberty in the background and the takeaway. Here in the heart of the world's largest aviation extravaganza, I'm feeling so fortunate to have it back for 2021. And yet we know that COVID risks persist. And you can see that here. The organizers and attendees are still taking the risks very seriously. Large crowds and close quarters mean you need to be careful. But given that most activities are outdoors, just how careful do you need to be? Well, I suspect you're asking yourself that question frequently, perhaps, these days, as the risks are waning, but not gone yet. And so some of us find ourselves often, maybe constantly, thinking about where we draw the line between common sense COVID precautions and the kind of COVID paranoia that reaches the level of overkill. That's the big question we're asking this week. Life is a line drawing exercise, so where do we draw the line? And who is drawing these lines? Well, today we're asking where we draw the line with COVID. And the short answer is, I think, we each have to decide for ourselves. Now, in many instances, that's fine. But does that work everywhere when we're talking about a pandemic? In some ways, it does, right? Once you're vaccinated, you can choose when and where you want the extra protection that comes with masking, for example. We know that no vaccine is 100% effective. That's been clear from the start. There are still risks, but the risks after vaccination are much different than before. And so we need to combine that reality with your overall risk profile, right? Age and compromised health and other immunodiseases. There's all kinds of factors. But at an event with hundreds of thousands of other people coming from all parts of the country and even around the world, the risk of communicable disease is greater than if you're just, you know, stopping off at the grocery store or sending your kids to school. It's a complicated question. But once you get into those settings, like stores and schools, large-scale events, now some of our choices are taken out of our hands, right? We're trying to figure out where to draw the line. In some cases, people are drawing the lines for you. Private owners of stores, businesses, they get to decide how they want to handle risk management on their premises, whether you like it or not. And if you don't, too bad. Just as private individuals have choices and decisions to make, so too do private business owners. Schools are different. They're public institutions, governments. They're charged with serving the needs of the entire community. And ultimately, elected officials get to decide where to draw the line for your kids and your family. You don't like that one? Well, there you get to vote, at least, to try to influence the outcomes. But that's the truth with so many of our current debates over where to draw the line. What if you don't like it, right? I mean, that's the only reason we argue over this. If it didn't matter, who cares? Yeah, you draw your line, I'm going to do my own thing. But that's not how it works. So often, officials, public health officials, elected officials, they draw the line for us. And if you don't like it, there's not much you can do. When public health officials start giving recommendations, many people embrace them. Others bristled. Almost none of it had the force of law, and so individuals still had choices of whether or not to follow the recommendations. Even the mask mandate issued by Governor Tony Evers had exceptions, right? If you had certain conditions, you didn't have to wear a mask. It still gave individuals some power to draw their own lines. And after all, that's what most of this COVID debate is about. Who should get to draw the line? Where do they draw the line? And should someone get to draw lines for others? When we're dealing with communicable disease, there's a larger role for public health officials, but it's not automatic. Government actors can draw lines using established authority, but they still need people to observe those lines, and that's the trick. Right? You can go over the top, you can be extreme in your precautions because that's the safest thing to do. What if nobody listens? When lines are drawn without getting the buy-in from those who have to live within the lines, they might not listen. And what good is an officially drawn line if no one observes it? Reminds me of the contrast between federal and local laws around marijuana use and possession. Usually it's pretty clear who has the authority to draw lines. But even then, they need to earn buy-in so people will follow the rules they've set forth. What's worse than an endless fight over where to draw the line? That's having a line that's drawn that no one respects. And that's the takeaway. Perfectly timed, just as the engines crank up, and we are all out of time for this time, but we'll be back tomorrow with more Fresh Take. Karen Schneider of the Oshkosh Herald kicking it off. We'll have your take, maybe on the Aaron Rodgers drama, when we welcome Governor Tony Evers to the show tomorrow, and then the professors are coming in to talk inflation and the fight over big tech. Lots of great things coming for you on Fresh Take tomorrow, but stay tuned. Haley 10 Pass and Focus Fox Valley coming up next.
Oh, now they need to see my birth certificate. Honey, where do we keep the birth certificates?
Why?
Buying socks.
Socks. I'll check upstairs.
It's easy to be unsafe online.
You're the best.
Now it's easy to help protect yourself. Norton 360 with LifeLock gives you device security, a VPN for online privacy, and identity theft protection. All in one. Opt in to cyber safety. Save 25% or more off your first year at norton.com/news.